It's Thursday, January 31st, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, show number 832, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 28% off at GoDaddy.com by using my new promo code that you're going to find at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. GNC is also sponsored in part by DYN. That's Dyn.com. Get 30% off their DNS and email products and services by using the promo code PODCAST30. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. I'm here in the Lone Star State. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as if it can be from the Lone Star in the Geek News Central HD mobile broadcast studio. I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana and longtime listeners from around the world. And for those of you that are checking us out for the very first time on our live stream on BitTorrent, you can come over to live.geeknewscentral.com if you're listening to the audio stream, and really check us out there. I'm really excited about being able to run the new BitTorrent live stream, and largely because it's going to be a fantastic way to crowdsource the show. Number two, we're going to be allowed to put the embed actually on geeknewscentral.com. So even though I'm broadcasting on a kind of a different time schedule right now than I normally am from Honolulu, it is going to be nice to see what kind of reaction we get for those of you that are actually going to come in and watch the show using the actual live stream. The BitTorrent stream, and I'm really excited with what they're doing over there. So what it really allows, and I just had what's been going on here recently is, I wonder if the stream is still up, is I've been having challenges with Wirecast, and I'm just looking to see if I'm still online. Looks like I'm still online. What it's been doing is, as I'm recording stuff, it's been just dying. The recording has been quitting on Wirecast, and I have no clue as to why it's happening. Just all of a sudden, the thing errors out. So it's got me concerned because we just lost a little bit of the video, and probably the piece that was on at the very beginning of the show got destroyed. Recording the audio portion of the show as well, but this one thing I really am kind of upset about with the travel system. You know, when I'm back in the studio in Honolulu, I'm on the TriCaster. It's solid as a rock. The video recordings are perfect. I'm not having any issues whatsoever. But on the road, Wirecast has just been flaky enough that it's been, I guess for a better word, not stable. And I even lowered the bit rate on what we're doing for recording to the hard drive, and just something there is not good. And the thing is, I've used it for a long time on the road and not had issues, but a recent update is I need to go back a couple of versions, I think. But anyway, let's go ahead and get on with the show. Again, I'm excited about using the BitTorrent live streaming platform, and ad free, just like I like it. You know, you guys know that I've been using Amazon for a while, but I'm going to tell you, if the quality from what I see so far is and stays the way it is, I'm going to be able to start using this on a continual basis for all the shows, and we'll turn all the hosts on to it. And they're beta testing it, and hopefully over time they're going to add functions. I had put a suggestion in on their website to allow us to embed it, and they were nice enough to implement that. I think I got the email today or maybe yesterday from the team over there, basically saying, "Hey, we've implemented the embed, and you can now put this on your website." So I'm really excited about that. Hopefully, as we move forward, we've got the ability to do captures, maybe video capturing, right within the actual BitTorrent implementation, their implementation as well. So it's just, I'm sure it's a work in progress, but the team over there is really trying to unhinder and unhinge what's happening in the live streaming space. Because if you look at what's going on with Ustream, you know, every 3 minutes there's an ad in your face, and it just really, you know, it pissed me off to the point where I didn't want to use them anymore. We've been using live stream, but you know, that costs money every month, and we've got the little broadcaster box that we use when we're in Honolulu, and then we've got the ability, of course, to do the use Amazon, but I think I'm running a bill about $100-$150 a month to host the ad-free version over there. So they've really done a good job, and I'm really excited to see where this is going to go. We just really need, what we need to do is grow the audience during this portion of the show to be able to stress test this thing and get enough people in here to see how it can hang. And, you know, the best part of it is you guys are going to socially help the show grow, because every little bit that I send out, and right now we're streaming at about 600 kilobits, which is not super fast, but it's good enough for a 640 by 360 embed, is that you'll be able to siphon off a little bit of the download that you're getting, and you'll be able to send that bit over to someone else that's actually watching at the same time. And again, the bandwidth is shared and uses the BitTorrent technology and that they're famous for. And I know many of you are out there using BitTorrent for all kinds of purposes, but it's pretty, you know, I think this is one thing too, is when the podcasting first started off, and I'm really getting off track here, but when podcasting first started off, you knew that I put up the show, the audio portion of the show, on a BitTorrent, and put up on the tracker, and people could basically, but there was really no tools, and there was no interface, so what would end up happening is I would put it up, and, you know, 50 to 100 people would download the episode, but they weren't up at all times, but everyone else was using the RSS feed, but we could have really reduced bandwidth cost across the board early on, back in 2004, 2005, if the developers at the time had just embedded BitTorrent technology in the podcatchers of the day. Obviously, when iTunes came on board, that completely eliminated any thought that that was going to happen. But I'm hoping maybe with a little bit of encouragement, maybe the BitTorrent team will make it so that this media, number one, as it's being streamed, obviously it's live. Number two, it'll get recorded, then put up as a recorded embed that will actually just kind of like a YouTube video that will be able to be crowdsourced and downloaded via an RSS feed. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that team can do over there. Baby steps as they move forward and getting this platform up and running. You guys can tell I'm pretty passionate about this. I think what they're doing is going to be revolutionary. And the folks over at Justin TV, the folks over at Ustream, all those folks better wake up and understand that this is where things are going, because content creators like me do not want to be hindered with ads. Now, and they're going to have some sort of business model over there, and if that means we're ultimately going to end up having to pay a flat rate to push to the server or something like that, that's fine. You know, we want to make sure BitTorrent makes money and stays in business and able to produce this, but I think the key thing here is in order to keep the cost down, they're not going to have to put in thousands of servers. They're going to be able to put in a few servers and get that up and running, and then you guys are going to help share the bandwidth load as this thing moves forward. So really, guys, want you to, you know, think about that as we move forward, and maybe at some point the whole podcasting scene will be able to be, you know, automated, and we'll be able to, you know, send out the show via BitTorrent. I think it would be fantastic from a just to get the cost down. You know, my bandwidth cost every month is incredible on the delivery of this show and of the audio portion of the program as well. Well, I've digressed here too much. I've almost spent 10 minutes on this. But again, I want to give a warm welcome to the HANA, longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News or send me a comment over there. Of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. And again, we're here live from the Lone Star State in the broadcast studio, and I got something to share that happened this evening. We are in a new location. Actually, I was already in a new location, and then I'm in another new location. We'll talk about that just a minute. But what I want to make sure that you do is I want to make sure that you take time and you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And let's see if I can make this the cut here without blowing this completely. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content. Of course, the guys, the team has been busy putting up the CES content. So there's a whole bunch of videos up there for you to watch. We've got a new edition of Robot Underpants as well, and lots of content that we've seen while we were in Vegas. So little by little, the stuff is going up on the website. We don't want to shove 100 videos a day at you. So you can see we're putting 3 to 5 videos up a day, and there's lots of great stuff there for you. We hope that you're subscribed to the special media feed. And again, how you get subscribed is real simple. You just basically come to geeknewscentral.com, the orange box on the corner of the second column of the website, and that's going to get you connected up so that you can subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher with the standard RSS feed. And of course, we've got lots going on the website, so make sure you get over there on a timely basis and stay subscribed to the regular blog feed as well. Just in my little contact list here, don't forget you can watch the show on the Roku, on the Tech Podcast Channel, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. So we got lots of places where you can watch the show post-show. And, of course, you can come over to the website at geeknewscentral.com as well. Don't forget the show notes are at gncshownotes.com. And you'll be able to get all the links to all the articles. And, of course, those of you that are subscribed to the newsletter, immediately following the show and the posting of this, we'll put out the newsletter that will have all the links to all the articles that I've covered tonight. And I'm going to send you guys over to the BitTorrent site as well to take a look. I know they're working on the interface over there and getting that going. But we're excited to see, what they're going to be doing in the future. Hey, I've got, I got a deal coming. And I've got a deal right now that GoDaddy has just introduced. This is absolutely smoking. A 28% off promo code. It's unreal. I have never seen a 28% off promo code. You know, we've got a lot of promo codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. But they just offered me up a 28% promo code. And there's going to be a better one. They're proving it through legal. That's how good the code is. And if you've got a big purchase, wait to the next show. If you can't wait and you got something that's got to renew, use this one. But I'm going to tell you, if you can wait just a couple of days, they've got a bigger one. And that $295.com has been so popular, they have extended that. Okay, so the $295.com is going to continue to be good for a while longer. All I got from an email from the guy at GoDaddy was, hey, you had a great month. So that means a lot of you used the codes last month. And of course, we've got that WST50 code where you get 50% off on their website builder. But this 28% code, I got a server coming up due, and I'm going to wait till the other code is ready. So, but it's going to be very short term, and it's all around the Super Bowl. So, we'll let you know. And when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, and you can almost guess what the percentage is going to be. That's how big the discount will be. But if you can't wait, I got all kinds of codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check them all out. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the show, longtime sponsor. And we want to thank them for their support. And basically, thank you guys for supporting. Chris, we're at the end of the month. We always want to thank all of our sponsors at the end of the month. GoToMyPC has been here this month. We've had Dyne.com. We'll talk about them a little bit. And, of course, GoDaddy. And really, you guys know that the sponsors keep the lights on here, allow me to do what I do. You know, the cost to just cover CES, I think, was $20,000, $25,000 total for the team cost. The posting cost is probably going to run $3,000 or $4,000 to get all the media up. So support the sponsors because it's not cheap doing what we do and what we provide to you. And not over at TPN.TV, but here at GeeknessCentral.com. All right, let me talk about my change of schedule. It was due to move to a new location. Ended up wrapping up my consulting with the company I've been working with here for the past 2 weeks early. Talked with the company and said, hey, is there any way we can start early? They said, no, but we've had some change of schedules. Can you cramp everything into a week versus two? I kind of looked at the schedule, said, yes, if you're willing to go longer hours. They said we were. So what's going to happen is I'm not going home. I'm staying here in Texas over the Super Bowl weekend, and then I'll be going home 1 week early. I was supposed to go home for the weekend, then come back Monday afternoon, do my business Tuesday through Friday, then fly back on Saturday. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay here in Texas and then fly home on the 9th. So everything is going to just continue. The road show will continue to rock and roll here for the next couple of weeks or next week. And then we'll be back in Honolulu. And it looks like no travel for a little while. So that's going to be fantastic. I'll be back in the studio. And it's actually going to be kind of weird. You know, I've been away from the studio for nearly a month now already. But this afternoon came back to the hotel, was a new location, and walked into my room and I heard this pshh, pshh. And I was like, what in the world is making that? So I walked into the bathroom and I thought maybe the toilet was running. So I flushed the toilet and the noise didn't go in. I said, it sounds like an air leak or something. So I had brought some food back to the room and I basically got that out and I was eating it and went into the bathroom to get a towel. And as soon as I stepped into the bathroom, I felt water underneath my foot. And I was like, you know, first thing you're thinking is the toilet's leaking and you're automatically grossed out, but it wasn't the toilet. A hot water pipe in the wall had sprung a leak, and the material, basically you could see the wallpaper or whatever they have on the wall over was starting to bubble up, and I was pushing on it and water was coming out. So obviously I dialed the hotel staff and I said, hey, you've got a leak in the interior wall. And the guy's, yeah, right. And I said, no, I'm serious. There's water on my floor in my bathroom. It's not coming from the toilet. It's coming from the wall. And an army of maintenance people arrived in my room about 2 minutes later, and they said, oh, you need to go downstairs immediately and change rooms. Now, you guys know I've got all this stuff here for my little portable stuff is not necessarily that easy to break down. And I had just set it up, that morning, having checked in. So I was pissed. I had to move everything. And luckily, they gave me a room right across the hall. And they're in there banging on pipes now. They didn't shut the water off, but the one guy was... heard the technician screaming because he was getting sprayed in the face with hot water. It wasn't good. Can you imagine an interior wall pipe going spazzo in a major hotel? And I'm on the top floor of this hotel, and crazy. Hey, we're going to talk with Rob about Saturday Morning Tech. Obviously, we had some challenges on the last Saturday Morning Tech using the Google Hangout. And I will. We'll make a decision whether or not we're going to do one Saturday. Main thing is we can't afford to lose recordings or even part recordings of that show because we invite very prestigious guests to it. So we're going to. I'll talk with Rob about that, and we'll make a decision whether or not we're going to do Saturday Morning Tech this coming Saturday. So we'll let you know. Wirecast, boy, it's killing me. It really, really is. And we'll have to figure out another solution and add some hardware to my system here. And it may mean I won't be able to do green screen all the time. That's one of the limitations that hold me up for offboard recording is the green screen is done in Wirecast and it's downstream of the switcher and everything else. Okay. So let's take your last piece of business and we'll get into our content tonight. And I want to talk just a little bit about the Dyne difference. Again, Dyne.com. You know, the folks who are at Seeking Alpha, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with Seeking Alpha, but Seeking Alpha in the world of financial advice, this site puts out a lot of content. They're the premier website for actionable stock market opinion and analysis, and they publish hundreds of daily articles from the world's top money managers. And Seeking Alpha had a system where they were doing real-time email alerts. And what that email alert system had grown was over to 500,000 people had signed up requesting to be notified when an article, conference call, transcript, or news story had been published on one of the stocks that they track. And the real-time email alert was very popular with investors as well as company insiders wanting to monitor their competitors in the industry. So they were adding thousands of new subscribers each month, signing up via their website, and basically it was causing the service that they were using was killing them. They were sending out an email blast on a specific blog post, and it was taking as much as 8 hours for that email to get to the end recipient. And when you're talking about stock information and data and decisions on buying and trading, that was not acceptable. So what they did is they become very unhappy with their previous email delivery, and they talked to Dyn. And seeking a change in it, having known Dyn because of their reputation as a DNS provider, their team turned to Dyn ECT, email delivery, to ensure those emails were received on time. So what's going on now is 85 million emails are being deployed per month. They publish approximately 250 articles a day. And what really happened there was that instantly, because of using the Dyn ECT service, they were able to deliver big batches of emails in minutes versus hours. And they said that this really made a huge difference in their business. And they went from 10 million emails a month on the previous provider to 85 million just because of the speed of the delivery from Dyn.com. So this is just one way. Now imagine, you know, this show, we have a number of people on our mailing list. But, you know, imagine if you had to wait 8 hours for the post-show email to come out. You know, that would suck. It would be worthless. So what we have to do here is we got to remember that Dyn offers a great, simple, it's, you know, and it's beyond, it's again, beyond the dynamic or beyond the DNS services. And, but you can get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS or their Dyn ECT product. So simply visit dyn.com/podcast30 and fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Once again, visit dyn.com/podcast30 and check them out. And this might make a complete difference for your business, where if your email is taking a long time to be delivered, you want Dyn ECT, you're going to be able to do that. So I want to thank Dyn for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Again, definitely check them out and what they're doing. That 30% off Dyn.com, use the promo code podcast30. All right, let me go ahead and close that up. And we'll close this up, get rid of some extra stuff that's sucking up some resources. Oh, we'll leave that for later. We've got some voicemails to play at the end of the show. I want to thank everyone also that's been sending emails. We appreciate that. That's always fantastic to get feedback. And I've been way long here. We're going to go long tonight on the show. That's for sure. All right. I'm going to start off right off the bat here with CES tells CNET, you're fired. You're done. You're gone. You're out of here. Hasta la vista. You know, basically, CNET has sealed their fate. And the censoring of CNET decision, basically, CNET censoring their decision on Dish and Hopper has really had a tremendous impact. So, CES has put out a press release slamming CNET's behavior and announcing that CNET won't be allowed to produce the Best of CES awards anymore. Those awards are produced by CNET under contract with the Consumer Electronics Association, which puts on CES. CEA said it will work to identify a new partner to run the Best of CES awards. Tech Podcast Network is ready to step up and participate in that awards. So CEA, listen, we're here. You know, tech podcast, we can help. No, more than likely they will go with a much bigger entity. But, you know, basically, this is, you know, CEA says, we are shocked that the Tiffany Network, which is known for its high journalistic standards, would bar all of its reporters from fairly describing classes of technology the network does not like, said CEA President Gary Shapiro in a statement. Shapiro went on to express his view that at a time in space-shifting technology like the dish hopper is protected by the famous Betamax decision, which legalized the VCR, he says, we believe that dish hopper, DVR, is fully covered by the Supreme Court ruling in Sony Corp of America versus Universal City Studios Incorporated. The simple fact is, making television easier to watch is not against the law. It is simply pro-innovation and pro-consumer. So here's this. He also said in an op-ed published in USA Today, CBS will never be viewed again as a pristine. The ethical media rule is that corporate business interests should never interfere in journalism, or at least not so blatantly, publicly, and harmfully. It made me wonder if 60 Minutes had ever suffered the same treatment. So, whoo, smoking. Just on fire stuff going on here. So, hey, pick of the day. We can ramp that up. And actually, we were going to. We had plans on producing some new awards for Geek News Central. And really, it boiled down to a matter of time and being able to have the right type of trophies and everything else. What I want to do right now is I want to post something here. And we'll see. People aren't used to me doing the show at this hour zone at all. Okay, so let me retweet that. Boom, it's out. So anyway, shame on CNET. Tech Podcast Rules, TPN. Okay, for the second time in a month, Apple has blacklisted Java web plugin. And I tell you, making me scared. I have to use Java for a couple of different sites I visit. And every time I do it, the Firefox, it says, do you want to enable Java? This is highly dangerous. And Java, what is their deal? How come they can't fix this? Are they that big of idiots that they can't get the security locked down in Java? I just don't get it. You know, but Apple's effective blacklist of the current version of Java web plugin. On OS X, the block comes just days after it's discovered the latest version of the plugin, which had been rushed out to patch a critical vulnerability, can still be exploited. So, you know, not surprising. Apple's distanced themselves, so is Firefox as well. Now, one thing I've been looking at is the mobile strategy. And something I want to talk a little bit about tonight is we talk about in-depth usage of the Internet, kind of get into some deep topics like I've been talking about in the past couple of shows. When Facebook made their earnings call, they revealed some interesting information. There was a bounty of tidbits that was in those results, you know, that they clocked in $5.089 billion in revenue. That was up substantially from $3.711 billion from 2011. And, you know, monthly active users were at 1.06 billion as of December 31st. Daily active users were 618 million on average for December 2012. And mobile, yes, mobile users were at 680 million as of December 31st, an increase of 57% year over year. Now, if that doesn't jump out loudly enough, you know, here's a statement by Mark Zuckerberg. He says, 2012 was a big year for us. We made the big transition where now there are more people using Facebook on mobile every day than on desktop. And there was a gem deep in the slide deck that basically said, quarter four of 2012, 157 million of Facebook's monthly active users, about 15%, were mobile only. Now, you just heard that. Mobile only on Facebook. That's an incredible number to me. So, mobile only, now if you think about that, let's really think about that for a second. That means an iPad, on an Android, on a Kindle, on your iOS, on your iPhone, they only access Facebook on that device. They didn't go on the site with a PC. That, to me, is an incredible number. Now, I need to go in and start looking at our stats a little deeper and see where we clock in on our site and how many people are coming to Geek News Central mobile only. You know, we've embraced HTML5. We made it so you can watch the website very easily and, you know, watch the media on there. But it's not what I would say 100%. You can come to the website with a mobile device and have no issue seeing it. And I've probably been slower than most sites in having mobile apps. And I don't know if the app is the for a better word, the solution, at least for my site. I don't necessarily believe in single apps for single sites. I don't, you know, even on my, and maybe I'm wrong, how many of you are using a single app to access Engadget or TechCrunch or some of the other sites? Are you using that site's app, or are you just loading the site in your browser? How are you getting there? That's a question I want to know from you guys, and this is when I want feedback from you. And also, I want you to contemplate if 15% of the people are currently going to Facebook mobile only, then what does that have to say to where we're headed in a PC world? Is it because people only have time for Facebook when they're in the car, riding, or in a subway, or on a bus? Maybe they sneak some time at work on their mobile device and then don't get on it at night? I don't necessarily believe that. I don't believe that people are just going on Facebook during the daytime when they're not at their home PC. But it does make me, you know, I really kind of have to think about that. I'd really like to see some more deep data on what time frames and everything else those folks are using the website are part of that 15%. But it does speak volumes on how people are using their mobile devices today. That's for sure. All right, switching gears here. Is Mega using a script to block third-party link aggregating sites? Apparently, Mega-search.me, a third-party crowdsourced link indexing site for Kim.com's new file locker site mega.co.nz, is basically having trouble indexing the site. Mega introduced a script developed to delete all files indexed on the Mega search engine, on the Mega-search engine. And they're trying to overcome that. But it's curious, maybe this is something that Meg is trying to do to protect his legal exposure. And folks at Meg are actually trying to take the website down. And so maybe they're just trying to cover their tracks there. So basically, copyright takedown notices per day have been hitting Mega at an increasing rate, and maybe, you know, it's because people are coming in and using the site for, you know, what they used the old website for, was the, you know, the proliferation and sharing of copyrighted material. So we'll see what happens with this, but clearly Mega.search.me could be constructed as a liability for Mega, especially as .com is under the ball, you know, basically under bail conditions that prevent him from relaunching a Mega upload or similar service. And So he's, you know, maybe trying to protect himself here in a big way and trying to be legit. So we'll see where this leads over time. I see that my mom has joined the live stream. So she's being able to watch the show tonight via BitTorrent. All right, new map will show how the internet will travel underwater in 2013. This is pretty awesome. This is a map that's done over Ars. And you really can't get the full effect by just seeing the screen here. But basically, it shows all of the underwater fiber and how it interconnects the world, where things are being served from, and how it's crisscrossing the planet, the type of data that's being moved, and the amount of data being moved. All I can say is there's a lot of fiber running a lot of places and in the map. And see if I can I blow this up without... No, I don't think so. There is a link on here on how to blow it up, but if you look at the links that are coming out of the United States and going into Hawaii, you know, we've got quite a few fibers coming in, which is pretty cool, which shows us that we're a lot better connected than I thought we were. But pretty cool map. I have the link up in the show notes for you to definitely to check out, okay? All right, another article up on the web today that's making all kinds of news is talking about the Chinese hacking of U.S. media is becoming a more widespread phenomenon. And this, you know, you got to think about this a little bit. Computer systems operated by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times have been penetrated by Chinese hackers for the apparent purpose of monitoring the publication's coverage of China. So both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times talked about this, you know, this ongoing hacking that was going on. And the acknowledgement came in a short article from the Wall Street Journal after, just basically 24 hours after the New York Times have talked about a similar breach. And they said that the attacks were very persistent, aggressive, and reminiscent of Chinese military types of hacks. So here you've got the Chinese who hacked two of the largest media companies in the United States and probably two of the largest media companies in the world. If you think about that, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal are very big media publication services with lots of employees, lots of reporters, probably lots of interesting information in their servers. And here you have the Chinese that have basically been monitoring the publication's coverage of China itself and basically has blocked even some of the articles they're reporting on this hacking. But this is widespread. So how many more media houses has the Chinese infiltrated? Now, if you think about this for a second, if they've really been able to hack U.S. media companies this easily, how many defense contractors, how many private companies have been hacked by the Chinese? How many, you know, companies that really don't have this very sophisticated security services for their companies have been breached and they don't even know it, and the Chinese are siphoning off, you know, whatever they're siphoning off, intellectual property, drawings to new products and services. You know, the Chinese have never been innovators. We need to, you know, let's be honest. They're not innovators. When you go to CES, they have whole teams of foreign people covering the show that do nothing but swoop into a booth and take like 500 pictures and turning it probably upside down, backwards, forwards, every way possible angle you can get, looking at menus, photographing menus, photographing anything that can be, in my opinion, stolen. And I'm sure they take that all back and use that to come up with products on their own. And, you know, there's a well-known and well-documented that the Chinese specifically have not been super innovative, largely because of the way their education system works and their robotic style of testing and different types of things that occur. So here we've got them hacking two of the largest media companies in the United States, and I'm sure they're hacking other companies. This has got to set everyone up and say, what is going on? Now, here's the thing that's even more scary is that the majority of antivirus software, in this specific case, Symantec, didn't catch them coming in. And this malware that was put on the machines in the New York Times was very aggressive and very targeted. And, you know, the New York Times had said they'd been targeted since 2008. And the Wall Street Journal article characterized the hacking campaign as extensive. So we really have to think about this. And this is a threat to our national well-being. If they're hacking media companies, they are as sure as heck hacking companies left and right. They're probably doing everything they can to infiltrate and get into, mainstream companies. And this is not good. Not good at all. I hope that the antivirus and malware people will wake the heck up and figure out exactly how the Chinese are doing this and put together software tools that's going to make it easy for the average company to figure out whether or not they've been infiltrated or not and whether or not they're, you know, they've been compromised. If you work at a company and you have less than adequate security, you know, I encourage you to make sure that your servers containing your intellectual property are in locations that are safe, not accessible from the internet, you know, using an intranet, not an internet, and keep those walls of defenses up. Otherwise, the Chinese will be building the product that you designed. Now, not only that, Yahoo allowed hackers to hijack people's email accounts. And this was done with a reflected XSS. And it sounds, what does that mean, Todd? Well, number one, the attacker sends an email to someone. The victim clicks on the link that was in the email, which sends a request to a vulnerablebank.com website. The vulnerable bank website takes the data from the request and includes valid web page. The victim browser now trusts the attacker script from bank.com, and now the attacker has full access to the victim's Yahoo account. All done because folks over at Yahoo had not secured and updated one of their sites that was running an old version of WordPress that had a bug. You know, the vulnerability that WordPress patched last April was known as a reflected cross-site scripting bug and allowed hackers to bypass, you know, this important restriction. And basically, the bug resided in an upload code on a developer at yahoo.com website and the developer website. So, you know, how can you protect yourself when companies don't upgrade their internal systems and patch stuff? Now, we got notified about a week ago by WordPress that the OnePixel Player, which we included in our PowerPress plugin, had a security vulnerability. They said, hey, you need to take this out of your plugin and immediately, because we've notified the folks at plugin player, we've notified them that they've got an issue. So basically, Angela pulled like a mini all-nighter to get the actual, get the code updated so that we could get it back up on WordPress and get everyone updated to get the to bug out. Now, we had announcements made in the PowerPress plugin. We made a banner announcement so basically people would know to update, and the community's response has been real good. Now, in response, the guy that developed the One Player plugin, or the One Plugin Player, he fixed his code, and now we're going to re-release PowerPress with it back in with the fixed code. But we are very responsive in basically making sure that our clients' websites were not vulnerable by patching in a timely fashion. Now, I hate to say it, but there's another podcasting plugin out there right now that still is running this old version of that player and have not fixed it. So, you know, there's some other folks out there that are vulnerable at this point. just because that developer has basically quit developing for the plugin and just do patches periodically. So, you know, the security stuff we have to be up to speed on at all times, and something that we watch. And if I see something in the news, I'll send it over to Angela and say, hey, this isn't going to affect us as our server's covered. And we watch the announcements from all the security different groups, and we look at it out, you know, something we are on top of. Is it perfect? No. But I'd sure hate to have the Chinese get a hold of our code. All right, let's go into a little lighter topic here. Let's switch up and switch gears. Let's talk about Vine. And there's an article on BBC that says six things people have learned about the six-second video in a week. Number one, stop motion animation is alive and well. Number two, ads work at a six-second length. Number three, people tend to do rather than say. That's kind of interesting. So what Vine seems not to be so far is a series of six-second videos of people taking the camera, talking to the camera. So, and it's basically the usage is being dominated by people doing things. Four, artificial limits help hype a social media offering. So the limit of 6 seconds is a big part of the hype in the media about Vine. Just like Twitter's 140 characters, the artificial barrier is a good handle for mainstream media. Aggregation of Vines are mesmerizing. So there's already a number of websites that mine the Vine app for users' videos. VinePeak and Just Vine are real-time aggregators of Vines. Vine Roulette is another one. And of course, cats and porn dominate every platform on the internet, and that includes Vine. So anyway, that is a pretty good wrap-up by the folks over at the BBC. You know, have you ever had a moment where you wish you could change the tone of your light and make it so that it was not so bright, or you can, you know, vice versa? Well, the folks over at the company has developed what's called a smart LED desk lamp, and it's sensitive to your moods. And this humble desk lamps basically is a mood light, and it's, you know, it uses some technology to detect your mood. And so, you know, it taps into your mobile device, helps it charge it, and at the same time it gives you the right light or whatever. But anyway, now we've got furniture that is detecting our moods. I don't know how I feel about that, but anyway, this is available. It's from Satachi Smart LED Desk Lamp. And it's not cheap. What's the price? $100? Yeah, it's $100. And of course, again, it's got a charger. But the lamp can be dimmed in increments. You can choose for presets, reading mode, study mode. They've got a relaxation mode. So anyway, long story short, you can check this out. I have the link up in the show notes, of course, at gncshownotes.com, or of course will be in the newsletter that gets emailed out to everyone. Popular security utilities for OS 10 were put to the test, and those of you that are Mac users, I'm sure most of you are still not running any security software on your computer, but beware, you're probably next to be hacked. But basically, this test reviewed at CNET. Basically, most utilities were able to detect many of the threats, and but here's what's scary. Of the antivirus tools used in the test, there was free and a paid package from Avast, Virus Barrier, Sophos, Dr. Web, ESET, Kaspersky F-Secure, Clam XAV, Norton, Mac Keeper, and it's included a Vire Engine, among others. So the top of the list were Avast, Virus Barrier, Sophos, and Dr. Web Lite. However, not far behind were ESET, Avaria, Mac Keeper, F-Secure, and Kaspersky. The antivirus tools that did not fare as well included Clam XAV, Norton Antivirus, and iAntivirus. And two utilities tested really bad were WebRoot Secure Anywhere and Secure Mac, Mac Scan, both detected under 30% of the threats. So if you're a Mac user, you're going to want to go over here and check this out and see where your application fell out, and maybe make consideration changing to something a little more secure. Okay, Amazon News went offline today for about 49 minutes. Don't know what exactly happened, but their shares fell 2.7%. You know, based on the website downtime, I guess people got a little bit nervous. But no reason given on why they were offline for 49 minutes. Those of you thinking about buying the new Office 2013 may want to look at Office 365. It's being reported at PCWorld.com that it's a better deal financially. Basically, five users, $100 a month. $100 a year versus Office 2013 Home and Student Edition for $140, which actually only I think you can only use on two or three computers. But Office 2013 Home and Business is at $220, and Office 2013 Pro is about $400. But Office 365 comes in two flavors, Office 365 Home Premium for $100 per year and Office 365 Small Business Premium for $150 per year. Both come with full Office 2013 Pro software for your PC, but the key difference is only up to five people can use Office 365 Home Premium on up to five devices, with each user getting an Office experience customized to their own Microsoft ID. So I'm not excited about using Office in the cloud, irregardless if it's available online and it's cheaper. I just I'm not a big fan yet. All right, leading privacy expert Caspar Bowden warned European citizens not to use cloud services hosting the United States over spying fears. Bowden, former privacy advisor to Microsoft Europe, explained at a panel discussion held at a recent Computer Privacy and Data Protection Conference in Brussels that a section in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act amendments of 2008 permit U.S. intelligence agencies to access data owned by non-U.S. citizens on cloud storage hosted by U.S. companies if their activity is deemed to affect U.S. foreign policy. So if you're using American service and they deem you to be suspicious, based on that act, they can look at your stuff. For those of you that are not American citizens using American cloud servers, I have a link up in the show notes on that. As expected, ICE has seized 313 websites in its roles as the NFL's private police force. This morning, ICE announced that it had seized 313 websites based on its highly questionable legal theory concerning takedown websites without any hearing. So they just seized these sites, and so we'll get a list of those. But it appears that they also seized legitimate merchandise, and so I don't know what's going to happen here. But 313 websites taken down here just prior to Super Bowl Sunday. And I don't think we should all be surprised at this at all. Talking about Java again, Java Silverlight left in cold as Firefox has disabled all plugins by default except for Flash. And many of you will see little pop-ups in Flash saying, do you want to use this? And but basically, in effort to prevent drive-by exploitations, upcoming version of Firefox will have Java, Adobe Reader, and Silverlight disabled by default, according to a recent Mozilla security blog. So a little info there. Firefox is being proactive, too. Now, something that should make all of you just a little bit upset, and especially when it comes to fair use, the Obama administration has considered joining publishers in a fight to stamp out fair use at universities. So this is really unfortunate. 2011, there's an important copyright case involving three publishers suing Georgia State University for daring to have e-reserves that allowed professors to make certain works available to students electronically via the university library. Nancy Sims, copyright librarian for the University of Minnesota, wrote a guest post at TechDirt summarizing the case and basically saying what's really going on here is the professors are making certain portions of the text available to the students as fair use. There was an initial court hearing. They said this was true. It was clearly fair use. There was a 350-page ruling on this. And, of course, those publishing companies went in and are filing appeal. So what's going on here now is that the U.S. Copyright Office has asked the Department of Justice weigh in on the side of the publishers and against the interests of the public, university, and students. Yes, this is the same Copyright Office that just promoted a former RIAA vice president to second in command at the Copyright Office, and I'm sure that's just a pure coincidence here. So let's be clear. that the Obama administration may be supporting publishers here. Two out of the three publishers are foreign publishing giants, and it would be supporting them against public universities and the professors there that are giving students information and providing tidbits of text as fair use. So it looks like that the RIAA has infiltrated the Copyright Office and now are going to be having Department of Justice put in amicus briefs in support of the publishers. Why do we have an administration? Oh, crap. This stupid. Oh, I'm just pissed. I lost the video for the show. This piece of shit. Ugh. There's got to be a better way. Okay. You know, we've got an administration that argued that improving our education system is a key policy issue, is now turning its back on education by having its Justice Department argue against a public university library and students in favor of a blatantly self-interest copyright collection agency. It's incredible. It really, really is. So anyway, that's what we're faced up against. Apple's halting Mac Pro sales in Europe on March 1st in the wake of new standards. Basically, the EU has new shielding requirements on fans and that kind of stuff, and they're not legally going to be able to sell Macs in Europe. All right, let's talk about Ford Sync. Ford Sync is moving ahead. We covered it at CES. It's up on my website. But they have opened up their developer program, and I talk about this a little bit, but if you want to get for more details, there's a good article at Geek News Central. I'll have up the link up in the show notes for you on that. Also, I saw at CES LG using NFC, near-field communications, to connect smartphones to TVs. This was a pretty cool demo. LG claimed it to be the gem of the show. I'll let you guys be the judge of that. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Next up is LG Optimus G and Android smartphones. I've been using an LG Optimus G Android phone here for the past couple of months. And we went and talked to the LG about more details on it. And it's a great phone. I want you guys to check it out. Link will be in the show notes, of course. And finally is YubiKey or YubiKo. The maker of the YubiKey introduced an NFC version at CES. I'm a big fan of the YubiKey. And have that as a third-party validation. It's something that I use. And, of course, the standard YubiKey is about $25. The YubiKey Neo, which includes the USB NFC, is about $50. And there's about a 7 to 9 week delay in shipping for the YubiKey. So definitely check it out. And if you don't know what the YubiKey is, if you want to make your logins more secure, you're going to want to check that out. It's being rumored PlayStation 4 is arriving on February 20th. Yes, that's the rumor. So we'll see if this actually is the case. But if you just bought a PlayStation 3, sorry. All right, I got to show you this. This is the most disgusting plunger I think I've ever seen in my whole life. I think you're going to get a kick out of it, though. This is over at Gizmodo. The headline on this is Clear Clogs and Terrified Japanese Schoolgirls with This Toilet Kraken. And, yeah, if you see this thing, you know, it looks like a tail sticking out of the toilet when the plunger's in there. It's an octopus plunger concept. And, yeah, of course, they show the person holding it with gloves. But anyway, I'm sure that's something that all the fellas will want to have. I'm sure this will probably not sell that well. Who knows? Quirky Japanese may end up buying it anyway. Link will be up in the show notes. Time Warner Cable's modem fee has apparently affected it. Time Warner's added, of course, a $4 modem fee. It's cost a few new customers. They only had 75,000 in the past quarter. Wall Street was expecting 129,000. The fee, though, has generated them an extra $1.83 million per month. $1.83 per month from each subscriber. So, anyway, they think that this fee may have had an impact. I don't know. long story short, there didn't get as many subscribers as they were expecting to. Apple TV is rumored to start carrying HBO app later this year. That would be huge if that was the case. So Apple is apparently in negotiations to start carrying HBO Go application on the Apple TV by mid-2013. Google Glass headset with bone-conducting speakers are in an FCC filing, so this could be big. You know, we could see the early edition of its virtual headset would arrive in 2013, and now the glasses themselves have shown up the FCC. So this is good. The glasses appear to have 2.4 gigahertz, 802.11 BGN Wi-Fi. And the latest Bluetooth 4.0 low energy technology on board. Another thing is that it may charge via USB. But anyway, long story short, it's got bone conduction technology. But again, this is only going to be for the developers who plunk down $1,500 for the glasses and are going to be able to get them to start developing on them. So very, very cool stuff. SpaceX is scheduled to launch an Israeli communication satellite. SpaceX will launch a satellite from Israeli satellite operator for an Israeli satellite operator in 2015. So that's nice. They got himself a nice contract there. Nice to see that. You know, I told you earlier that Symantec was responsible largely for not being able to detect the virus that the New York Times had. And they basically made a statement that basically says this. Let's see here. Advanced hacks like the ones the New York Times described in the following article underscore how important it is for companies, countries, and consumers to make sure they are using the full capability of security solutions. The advanced capabilities in our endpoint offerings, including our unique reputation-based technology and behavior-based blocking, specifically target sophisticated attacks. Turning on only the signature-based antivirus components of endpoint solutions alone are not enough in a world that is changing daily from attacks and threats. We encourage customers to be very aggressive in developing solutions that offer a combined approach to security. Antivirus software alone is not enough. So basically, they kind of defended themselves, but I don't think most people know what their endpoint solutions even is. Okay, if you want to watch the Super Bowl online this weekend, there's a great list of places where you can do so via GigaOm.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, Ogizmo, I don't know if you want to... Okay, cyclist out there, would you wear a Pee Wee Herman or a Spider-Man as a cycling suit? Well, a company's made them available. They've got them a variety of different colors, tones, fluorescence, and so forth. There's no way in this world you would ever catch me wearing a Pee Wee Herman outfit as a cycling suit. You know, you probably will get run off the road, if not laughed off the road. You know, the Pee Wee Herman history is not necessarily a good one. Spider-Man, on the other hand, that might be kind of cool, but the Zune look as well, and that Zune, the Tron look is pretty cool. Anyway, I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. If you want to ride around like look like Pee Wee Herman, they've got a suit for you to do so. Have you ever wondered, did you guys watch the X Games at all? I watched a little bit, and of course the sad announcement of the death of the snowmobiler that got crushed by his snowmobile. Not good, but if you ever wondered how they make the snowboarding half pipes, they got a cool machine for that. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. And if you want to watch a funny video, watch a room full of Android and iPhone users try to figure out the BlackBerry 10. Pretty cool video over at BGR.com. And finally tonight, they're thinking that at some point here in the near future, they're going to be able to come up with a $50 autonomous quad rotor that obeys your voice commands. These quad rotors are getting pretty cool, pretty smart. Sign me up. This is not available yet, but the folks are really working hard to try to get this on board, and it's going to be over at alwaysinnovating.com, and I'll have that link up in the show notes. Well, for those of you that wanted audio on the show, I apologize. Wirecast has failed me again. I'm going to have to go into some extensive tests and figure out what is happening, because I am just absolutely torqued off tonight, because I know that the video recording of this show has been completely spoiled, and I just don't know why. It might be the USB 3.0 extender card that I'm using that may be causing the trouble, but I'll have the link. Basically, I'll get it figured out, and we'll hopefully not lose another video recording of this show. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about some of the emails that come in. Actually, let me play a couple of voicemails. Let me do that first and see what we got here.
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston, Texas. I really enjoyed this show. I've been enjoying it for a long time. As for the issue of it being illegal to unlock cell phones and jailbreak tablets, well, I wonder how long that's going to be lasting. Also, I can only imagine the pushback that's starting up now. I understand there is a movement afoot to have a bill passed in Congress to allow for cell phone unlocking. And if I ever find out there is such a bill really that's going to be considered, I will call every congressman, every senator myself, and let them know that they should pass such a bill. I think the cell phone companies pushing this and influencing this to go through, if it not be illegal to unlock a phone, it's crazy. And I hope enough of us stand up and say, no way. Also, the comment about TVs, yeah, my wife and I are looking at a new Panasonic television. We have found out that plasma still gives the best picture over LED and LCD. And I've always thought plasma was the best and will be the best, in my never to be humble opinion. And we may get one very soon, we may not. We're just kind of, you know, looking over the old bank account, see what we can and can't do. Anyway, I do enjoy the show, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, Clint, for calling. Haven't heard from you a while, and good luck on the hunt for a TV. And, yeah, the whole unlocking thing is just crazy, yeah? It really, really is. And, of course, we don't want to leave the show without you guys hearing a little special message from Danica, do we?
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
Thanks, Danica. We appreciate that promotion of the website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, let's go ahead and we'll go through a couple of emails here, and then we'll get you guys out of here tonight. I want to thank Tim for sending a couple of emails. He said, hey, Todd, hydrogen cars by 2017. He says Ford, Nissan, and Chrysler have teamed up to build a hydrogen-powered car. Very, very cool. Got an email from Nir. He said, hey, Todd, the Telegraph covers the Iranian launch of a monkey to space in the link below. Furthermore, they speculated the monkey must be male because it traveled unaccompanied. I hope this brings a chuckle to your listeners. And for those of you who don't know, in Iran, women cannot travel by themselves. They have to be accompanied by a male at all times. Of course, it's that way in most Arab countries. Very few do not allow the ladies to travel on their own. Okay, next up is another email from Tim saying, hey, funny, creepy, and odd stuff that is on Google Maps. And there's a link to some really weird pictures that was found on Google Maps. Appreciate your submission of that, Tim. I really do. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up here. Obviously, we've been a little bit long tonight. Spent a lot of time at the beginning talking about BitTorrent, which has performed beautifully tonight. Don't know how many people are on the stream. We've got to get a way to figure that out. But those of you that have been on, thanks for watching tonight. And if you did watch, this is the only video you're going to be able to watch because Wirecast, piece of crap, crapped on me again. So we're going to have to really look at that here over the weekend and figure out what the heck's going on. But it looks like the stream stayed up. And but anyway, thanks everyone for being here. Again, email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Call our hotline at 619-342-7365. Twitter at geeknews. Don't forget about our sponsors, dyne.com/podcast30. And, of course, check out all the GoDaddy promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Until next week, we'll see you guys later. Take care and aloha. Hoo-ha.